How's it going?
Good. Not as good as your stash, but good. Filthy. Get it off. Get it off that microphone.
Can you hear that?
Stop.
Seems moderately
safe for work.
Inappropriate. Just for some reason, gonna have to go watch that one.
Or not. I'm okay.
Your hair. I'm liking your hair. I had mine trimmed by my partner, who's my junior hairstylist, and it wasn't quite what either of us thought it was going to turn out to be. So it's not terrible.
Hang on, your child trimmed it?
Yeah. Yes. Don't tell Aaron.
Yeah. How are you?
I mean, not bad overall, but I'm pretty frustrated with a couple things. Just spent a lot of hours in the last. Started Monday, I want to say. Monday through, no, it was last week, potentially. About an hour or two every day, seemingly, in the last four or five, trying to make this Tormach AF50 saw work as it's intended to. I think the reality is the seller either didn't know or wasn't truthful, because it does not work as it's supposed to. And there's like a bunch of swapped wires to the control board, like so many. It had the wrong fuse in it.
Oh shoot.
It cuts in manual mode, but I keep blowing fuses because we hadn't put coolant in, is my best guess. But it had too small of a fuse compared to the manual. It was a 10 instead of a 15. Found one of those. Cutting in 15, the 15 amp fuse manually, because the auto feed won't work, and blew that one too. So we're going to use coolant, but I've just now gotten the saw to feed forward instead of backwards. The feed table piston was moving stock backwards.
Okay.
The clamping mechanisms were backward. It's just like, just so many ways. It was like, I don't know what they did. Like, pulled all the wires out and then put them in randomly again. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Shit. So this is the one you got a truck and got from Seattle or something. Yeah. Yeah. And you're only now just sort of starting to try and commission it, and it's.
Yeah. It's been sitting there, and we hadn't, I mean, maybe shamefully, we just hadn't had much to machine.
Yeah.
40 days, like, we, you know, some of our products we make in a batch, and then we had a run on them, and a couple pedestal sets sell, and suddenly we need to make parts again. Then you need all the cutting all at once.
Yeah. And your current saw solution is what?
Well, I had this Jet 7x12. We still have it, actually.
You still have it? Okay. Good, good.
For sale, but
Ricky's not out there with a hacksaw.
No, but I continue to think, like, what kind of backup solution do you have, you know, when this kind of thing happens? It's not like used every day, but it's like, obviously it's in preparation for using it more and more. As part of the reason I bought this thing was, like, I'm not going to have somebody stand there and cut one piece at a time, including myself or Ricky. It seems like it's close finally, but it's been very frustrating. And that's not to say, I'd also say that I've never called or contacted Tormach tech support before, but they've been pretty great. Like, they have lifetime tech support for free. I didn't realize that when I bought the saw.
That's awesome. Even as a second diner.
Pretty helpful. Yep.
That's sick.
It's pretty helpful. So I will be going back to that after this. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. I can't remember what happened last week. I just failed to get out of bed twice. I think it was 2 days in a row. And then I had some sick kids.
Sick kids.
That's right. The first day I tried to get up to record, it was the start of school holidays, and I had multiple sick children, and they were awake at 5 a.m. And both of them were like, no, you can't leave. And then I think I slept in the day after that. Anyway, so it's been a couple of weeks. It's been it's been pretty good here. It's kind of school holidays, which I always kind of enjoy.
Is it like multiple weeks?
Yeah, it's a couple of weeks, and always like I quite enjoy it because you just don't have to get the kids up out of the house. So on my days when I'm in kid mode, it's just much more enjoyable and get to hang out with them more. So kind of good. I'm working. Well, you know what it's like. Technically, I'm working 3 days a week at the moment because Laura and I are trying to like both max out our working weeks. And
yeah,
but that just means I'm working every night on the couch in reality. But it's been kind of nice having a 3 day work week, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm in just full kid mode while Laura gets 3 days of work in. It's been kind of enjoyable, and I was worried that like we wouldn't, you know, that sales would drop off or I wouldn't be able to quote enough stuff or blah blah blah, but it's been about 4 weeks of that now and sales continue to be pretty strong. We had a really really strong weekend last weekend because of my like incoming price mm-hmm. rise incentive. We did about a week's worth of revenue in a weekend, which was lovely. And
could have had that last weekend too.
Awesome. Sick. That's good to hear. With the world in such a state, it's always mm-hmm. like it surprises me every week now that it's like people are still buying stuff. Cool.
Great.
So yeah, it kind of gave me, for better or worse, this week, I kind of took that boost in sales as a bit of an opportunity to be like, hey, there's some stuff I just wanted for fun for myself at work.
Yep.
I'm going to focus on that stuff rather than like push on quotes or admin stuff. So I had quite an enjoyable week. Kind of rebuilding Airtable, basically. Rebuilding the bits of Airtable that I want to keep. Hosting it on a local little Linux server here and mucking around with that. And yeah, it's fun. It's kind of off the back of my pricing I've lost track of time now. Last week when I was doing some pricing calculations, and I was frustrated with the sort of the years of like layers on layers of archival mess in Airtable. And I was like, I'm just going to rebuild all these formulas from scratch. What's a good, you know, architecture to do that in? And ended up mucking around with SQL Lite. Have you done SQL stuff with your build?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Different database. Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it's Postgres.
Okay.
It might not be the same thing I use.
Anyway, that kind of led me down a rabbit hole of like, what else can I do with these databases? And then maybe I can just self-host my job management stuff in a simpler,
right,
local way with less subscription costs and blah blah blah. So, been mucking around with that this week and having a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been good.
It's been good. The local server means you can't access it outside that network, or are you going to open it somehow outwards?
Yesterday, I was getting a bit of work done from my mum's place remotely, and I was like, oh, yeah, damn, this new thing I built, I can't access. And then I was like, oh, wait, yes, I can. That's not good. It's like online and completely unrestricted. I didn't mean to do that. So I quickly logged into Cloudflare and deleted some DNS records. And then, I'd built a tunnel.
We need to beep that. Hold on.
Beep. No. It's
you logged into nothing at all.
It's fixed now. I'd built a tunnel in for, so it could automatically pull Shopify orders in and quotient quotes. And somehow in doing that, I've created a publicly accessible version of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's fixed. But yeah. but there's just something so satisfying about taking like an old, not even that old, like the reasonably high spec Windows PC that was just so disgustingly slow. Like John, it had been John's programming PC for a while, and then Fusion had just gotten unusable on it. Taking a computer like that and like doing a clean wipe and installing like this ultralight Linux server OS on it. Mm-hmm. And just look like it suddenly this computer runs, you know, beautifully with using barely any resources. It's like awesome. Just feels like a, I don't know, something very satisfying about that. I love it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's amazing how little you need to power something like that.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's right. I guess it's very light. Because I'd been like shopping, looking at like secondhand Mac Minis and Mac Studios, thinking that I needed like a little silver box here to do something like this. I was like, hang on, wait. I almost bought one, and then I looked at the lead time on a Mac Mini. It was like 4 weeks out. I was like, no, stuff that.
I don't know how reliable this will be in the end, but that supposedly there's going to be this absolutely crazy backorder problem with Macs, which my theory was that the big companies like Apple would just find a way around this like shortage from compute chips and memory that, you know, all the AI companies are eating up, and seemingly they're not. Like they're still going to get massive delays because of like, you'll go to order a Mac Mini soon and it'll just be like maybe in months.
Yeah, well,
which is wild. The world's largest, most valuable company, or maybe they aren't anymore, but
see, this is like you saying that just immediately makes me want to go on and buy that like secondhand Mac Studio that I saw available yesterday.
I've been watching the same. I've been watching like the computer our new person's been using is a 6-year-old laptop that I like, Windows PC laptop, and it's been doing better than I thought, and they only really need a browser. But I know like Ricky's had one that we had here in the shop, and it's been better for him.
Yeah, really. Interesting.
In the same vein, I had this project I wanted to do for a long time, and I feel like this is like a seemingly the time that everybody's doing this, because you talking about this project, I've seen like 2 or 3 different companies that I follow on Instagram. They're doing like, you know, LLM-led little software projects like this. And I have been wanting to make a display screen in the shop that you can easily make messages or have automated messages show up on. And we have a handful of reasons for this. It's like half the time, if you've ever worked in a shop, it's like, you know, if I'm out there too, usually it's Ricky, it's like, you have big headphones on to keep sound out and you're not near a computer, but like the person in the shop in the front or somewhere else in the shop needs your attention. There's somebody arriving for a shipment, or they're about to go run something and it's fat, you know, I can open the door and yell, but he might not hear that either. So it's like, you just kind of want a way to like get their attention quick. So
some strobe lights.
Teamed with this thing. You do have a doorbell that's strobe lit. that was kind of the test case for a lot of this stuff. I think that was an Arduino. We have a couple of Arduino projects that I'm probably going to roll into this at some point since we're using Home Assistant. I got Raspberry Pi 4 kit, which was $85. And I swear these used to be like $30. And supposedly those are also about to jump $100 in price because of the shortages. Like $100 more. It'll be like $200 for one. I only grabbed one, but I'm intending to put the same system in both shops. So I need another Raspberry Pi. Basically, it has a little local server running on a Pi, the same Pi that it runs on. So that sitting in the office here, I sent you a screenshot of it. The left side is the control or the dashboard, and the right side what shows on the screen. And you can push any of a few quick alert buttons, and it lets you say like, go check Slack, or we have an arrival, or stop, and it like flashes like if you're about to go run a file, a weird one we have all the time is like, I'll get the door and then Ricky is still running to go get the door at the same time because the door, the doorbell got pushed. So I'm like trying to save him from running across the shop. Other stuff like reminders, things we have to do through the week that are like repeating reminders when the UPS pickup's about to arrive, like just it's a timed thing every day.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of little stuff. And I was concerned about having to like stuff that you do, like solder wires and like build a whole board and a breakout board and all these wires. I have no skill in that at all. Like, and it was basically just like plug in a USB for power, plug in an HDMI to a monitor, and it worked. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, so simple. So we've had a couple days with it and it's been good so far.
Did you get an enclosure for the Raspberry Pi, or is it just running a naked board somewhere?
I don't put my naked boards out. No, it's a, I found a Maker World 3D printable one and just dropped in and worked immediately.
Yeah, awesome. It's pretty good, that stuff. Yeah, that's super satisfying. Oh, when I saw you, that screenshots of what you're doing with that, I was like, yeah, I got... I kind of remembered wanting to build that sort of stuff years ago when like I had 10 staff and it felt like a real need for something like that.
Right.
Having like workshop screens, or like when we first started building Airtable, our own ERP and Airtable, and like I was like, yes, and then we'll have a screen in the workshop that has like a filtered view and just shows the things for today, or blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And just my like, the engagement, in hindsight, like the engagement just wasn't there from the team, or I was pushing it in the wrong way, or just, I don't know, it just kind of made me think about how a lot of that stuff that I used to get excited about, things like that, just never really landed. And yeah, I don't know why that is. But kind of made me a bit sad.
You know, it's like there's I've had those once too, of like a job board kind of thing. Currently don't have plans for a job board necessarily, or like a constant, like what I keep thinking of it as is like a system to get attention to specific things. And maybe this sounds micromanagey, but it's also like, you know, it can be, you know, there's going to be one, I don't know if we're going to control them separately, but it'll be in both sides. So it's like, I've been working out in the new shop at the UMC in the last week. And it's like, you know, if our new employee has been in here at the computer and they need my attention and can't get it, it's like, that's a great way to do it. And I can tie it into like the other like little fun strip lights we have around that like light up when we get a Shopify order. Just in a weird way, it's like a bit of it, like maybe the opposite, not to make you sad again, but it's like, it's almost like a morale boost in a weird way of like, we all enjoy when the order light goes off.
Totally.
Like Ricky and I have taken to just saying like, ooh, money.
Nice.
Like that's our like weird phrase. Ooh, money.
I mean, yeah.
I did find this fun little home assistant buttons I haven't wired up yet that we'll be able to like, there's four of them. It's kind of interesting. It's got a little magnet, $20, and you'll be able to like push a button and you can do anything with them. We were trying to decide what, like dismiss the message or like go up or down or be able to like see the calendar for the day, because we have like a team calendar of like when people might come for appointments or pickups or drop offs and stuff. So
is that Braille? Braille on the buttons?
Yeah, they're just like 1, 2, 3, 4. So you can distinguish each one. I'm probably going to put like a sticker or a label on each one.
Is that just some like ESP device that you can link to Home Assistant?
It's a home. It's called Sonoff, S-O-N-O-F-F.
Oh, it's Sonoff.
It's made to work. I had to get the Zigbee adapter for the Home Assistant.
Yeah.
Because there's like a lot of good accessories for that. It's connected, but I haven't like wired up all the cool things it does yet.
I've never understood exactly what the Zigbee thing is. Is it a different communication protocol, like not Bluetooth? It's like radio, blah, blah, a different.
Yeah, I think something. It's Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
Somewhere on the Wi-Fi spectrum. Whereas the other one, Z-Wave, was Bluetooth, I think. And okay. I find that to be lesser. I don't know. I just in terms of what I was looking at and things I couldn't just automatically have connect to Home Assistant, it seemed like most of them were Zigbee.
Yep. I had doing a little Home Assistant mod at home recently because my Home Assistant server at work's been down for ages. So I'm reestablishing that now on the new, hopefully better Linux server. But the one at home, which I kind of manage my solar system with, I was adding one of those little finger bots. So I can turn the backup generator on and off remotely. And it was a similar thing. It needed like its own like communication hub to connect into Home Assistant properly. And I didn't understand that when I bought it. I just bought the little pushy finger thing. And so I got the thing. I was like, oh, I can't actually connect this because it doesn't have its friend that it needs to talk to connect to the network properly. And I was like, wait, I've got spare ESP32 chips. Can't I just make my own? And like a little bit of YAML later, made my own hub that this switch could talk to and then talk to Home Assistant natively. I was like, sick. That's awesome.
There's a huge unlock I've been getting out of. I'm sure you can do it with any of these agents, but like I've used Claude to make YAML files, which is like a very simple coding language for these like Home Assistant things. I don't really understand it, but I've also just like said, hey, on the Cowork, it has a thing called Cowork. It'll just like open my browser and I can give specific permission to which what I can see. And it just like, I was like, all right, you just do this for me. I don't want to do the YAML file thing. And I started it and I went to the back to go into the UMC area and I like came back and it was done. I was like, yes.
So cool.
That's what I want. Don't have to even think about making this work.
I believe YAML stands for yet another markup language. Could be wrong, but
okay, sounds about right. It's like a Dogecoin. Yet another markup language.
How's shop life with an extra person?
It's been good. I'm still struggling to keep them with enough work. They started listening to this, by the way.
Hi, person.
Hello. We've been using these times when we're out here for them to go work in the shop with Ricky and learn stuff and done a little production, minimal production when like there's not anything to do in computer world.
I just had this image of you like, right, so there's 100 and something episodes of this. So if you can just start at episode one and work your way through, it'll be part of your training program.
Trainer AI, yes.
There's a test at the end.
I didn't even say what it was. Maybe they got it from the wall back here, just Googled it or something. But anyway, it's been good. It's helpful very helpful. I felt like Monday, Tuesday was the first couple days where I needed to go work out in the shop, do something, work on the UMC, get the SAL working, wink, wink. And I just kind of walked out and I was like, all right, let me know if like something starts on fire up here. You know, Ricky was here too, but, and they could, for the most part, handle communication with email and stuff. You know, some days we get two emails, and some days, like this morning, we walked into like six, you know, and get more through the day and goes back and forth and help people with orders and stuff. So it was the first 2 days where I like ended the day Monday, Tuesday, and I was like, I didn't really have to answer any emails today, and things, I didn't feel this like, I'm sure you have this like deep tension of like, oh no, people are waiting for me to answer emails, you know.
Yeah,
totally. And that's a great feeling. They can't, you know, obviously answer all, or I would say even like the majority of emails yet, but like getting to the point where like kind of know where to look and what to say to, like, as I always keep saying, it's like we need to, you know, work the triage where it's like say something, give them a timeline of like, when can we help you? Who can help? You know, is Justin going to be around later? Can let them know that we'll get to them soon, kind of thing. So that's helpful too.
Yeah. So, nice. Good. Good. Yeah. So I was thinking about it last night, knowing that I was chatting to you this morning, of like, the things I want to pick Justin's brain on right now are probably not conversations to have on air, because
dang.
So we can chat about that later. It's nice. I've got that, like, just informally a little bit. Like, obviously I'm the admin master and I wear all the admin hats, but because we've got the shared inbox, John's actually in there quite a bit in his role as machinist, but he's also like, if he has capacity, he's the main person who will take an approved job and detail it in Rhino or Fusion to get the parts ready to then put on the machine. And like, he does some client, he'll send clients a drawing and for approval and things like that. So he's a little bit client facing more and more. But it's just nice to have someone else who's got the inbox open throughout the day. And, you know, there's been times when he knows I'm not available and he will just, without prompting or asking, he'll go back to a customer and say, hey, Jem's out on site all day, or won't be able to get back to you, or blah, blah, or he'll help directly. And it's just nice to have someone who can jump in and do that on occasion, or just have eyes on the inbox. I guess, you know, if something lights on fire, I know that someone else is looking at it.
Ricky and I have a little experience with doing that, but I'd say it's been, you know, if I'm in the shop prior to having the new person, it's been 90-10, you know, like, he's not really looking at it in regards to, like, if I say, hey, can you handle this one? He will, you know, do that. And it's not that he's not willing. It's just like, he's usually literally moving quickly around the shop, getting things done. He's not standing at a computer. So it makes total sense that he's not on it. But yeah, that's been a huge difference. And the thing that I've struggled with, I think I said this last time we were talking, and I've tried some to basically like open my mind to how to make the new coordinator more, I don't know if that's the right word to say, but like useful, or like that they feel like they're capable of being helpful as much as they can be. And so my first step for that was, I think, I don't know where I heard this, but I started reading the book Traction, which is pretty dry. Not sure I can advise it yet, but I've taken a couple things from it. And part of that was like trying to come up with, I think I specifically was like, how do I improve delegation skills? Basically, like, how can I unload within my brain to somebody else better? And part of that is just like, I think it's just a trust thing, and like feeling like I'm not the only one that can do some of these things that aren't, it's just not realistic, and we're not going to grow if I'm the one doing 75% of the tasks that seem like only one person can do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about like offloading, and I suppose giving someone the tools to empower them to do more, right?
Yeah. Right. So I don't know that I've gotten anywhere super far with that yet, but we've been slowly trying to like build in more tasks and like responsibilities. And they definitely have plenty of like available time beyond answering emails and are willing. And it really, 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 really comes down to documentation. And there's so much of it that's, it's almost like you need like, I feel like, decision trees about how to like answer or solve a problem. And that's, and part of that's why I jumped into like, oh, well, maybe this book like Traction. And have you ever heard or read this book?
I think I've heard the John Bombs talk about it. Maybe.
Maybe that's what it's from. I can't remember who.
Maybe read it. Them.
He's got this Gino Wickman. Familiar. He's got this like operating system basically he creates that companies follow, and it feels so corporate to me, like just so corporate. And I have a really hard time believing in the totality of it, because it's like I mean, he talks about at one point in the beginning of the book, like, you know, you need to be open and willing to change as like the, you know, business owner. And it's like, okay, yeah, check, check. I can do that. And then he's like, but you also need to like create a business leadership team where you meet every week. And I'm like, a leadership team? We have three people. Like, what am I going to do with, there is no leadership team. If we had that, we wouldn't have anything else, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
As well as like just the kind of extension of like every meeting needs to be exactly the same every week. And everybody in the company should have a meeting at the same time with the same agenda. And I'm just like, what? This is getting into some real fine details where like, I feel like we should be talking more on maybe a more large scale rather than talking about like how meetings should go in the beginning of the book. But
yeah, that's
picky. And it just feels, some of it felt, I haven't enjoyed it very much yet, but I took a couple things from it so far. One specifically was this issue list, which I really liked the idea of. And so we started that, just made an Airtable for now of a team list of problems and things to solve. And then anybody can put it on there. And then the idea is you either get assigned or choose it and start working on it at some point. But at least it's not floating out in the ether. It's had a little help so far. It's been a little beneficial so far.
Yeah. Yeah. The weekly meeting thing just reminds me of like, I mean, we used to do that when we were in.
Yeah.
When we were bigger with more people and we were in the business coaching program, that was definitely something they encouraged us to do, was, you know, have repetitive meetings at set times with, you know, basically everyone having a meeting with everyone. It's just like there's so much time was spent every week doing that. And some of it was hugely beneficial. Like my daily check-in at 10:15 with Sarah, my business manager, was really, really important part of our day.
Yeah.
And we'd, you know, chatted important stuff and, you know, she was such a great operator. She was good at keeping things tight and having a good agenda on, you know, a high value meeting. Whereas, you know, you do that with someone else on the team, it's not necessarily as beneficial. And, you know, you put two personalities like me and someone else who's a bit loose and floaty together and like we have a pretty floaty, useless meeting. And then you try and do that once a week and it's like losing a lot of time. So
Right.
But there's something to be said for that repetitiveness for sure. But at the same time, you know, having dropped all of that 2 years ago, I don't miss any of it. Like we still have a weekly team meeting, sit down, the four of us, and we run through the job list, flag everything, anything that's, you know, going to be an issue for that week. And sometimes that's all we'll do. Sometimes we'll have a broader chat about production issues or product development or things that just sort of organically come up. But that's our only sort of formal check-in. And it's, I don't know, I would argue that it's working really well. But someone else might argue like, hey, you're not taking formal notes every time and you're not following up on ideas that were brought up and like there's no recall or there's no like accountability of like, hey, you said last meeting that you were going to do XYZ and it's written down here. Mm-hmm. And so where's the deliverable? Which is kind of how we used to run these meetings. Yeah. But I don't know that we've lost anything.
I think that's the big disconnect in so far in listening to Traction. Is this like he's, and I'm not gonna say talking out of two sides of his mouth, but it's like he's talking about like referring to me in the book as like the solo entrepreneur, but then also talking about like leadership team meetings and how the whole team needs, the whole company needs these meetings. And I'm like, at what point? Like, I don't understand. Where did we go from like, I'm, you know, we've grown from 1 to 3 or 5 or 10 to this huge scale, seemingly. Maybe I missed that part, but. Similar to what you're saying, I feel like at times we've had, I think, a cumulative amount of 4 or 5 people here. I can't remember what our max was, but it did feel like we did need meetings of some sort. And it was kind of related to like 1 or 2 people kind of wanting it. Like, you know, I didn't hear what you said to them kind of thing, you know, or we're not getting these smaller tasks done. And yeah, when the team shrunk down to Ricky and I, it felt preposterous. I didn't even consider it anymore. It was just like, what are we gonna have a meeting? What are we gonna have a meeting about? But we've had a few since we've had the new person. It's like kind of educational for them. And then I'm not saying the same thing between the two. You know, it's like we're having one meeting about how the shop board works, for example, or we went through an entire process of documenting how returns and exchanges should work since we've like doubled or tripled our order volume. We've had two, you know, a month returns or exchanges rather than like one every quarter. And so suddenly it was like, all right, Ricky and I can't remember how to do this step. And now the new person's going to help manage that. Mm-hmm. So we have a meeting, you know, it's like, it's, I see the point, but also I didn't mean to talk about the meetings thing as long as I have. It's just, I should keep listening to more of the book and see if it's what I want out of, you know, I'm trying to teach myself how to like delegate and to how to create better, basically like systems that I went into this new hire thinking like, oh, we have pretty good systems, pretty good documentation. And then you just immediately all falls apart and burns into a heap of like, hey, that's a weird one. Yeah, I'll handle that. Or like, I don't know how to teach you how to.
Yeah. I suppose
just takes a while.
One counter to all of this, which I think it's interestingly has come up this week for me, is I was chatting to another dad at school, the kids' school, and he a little bit older than me, and he runs a restaurant in the city, has done for a long time, successful restaurant. And I think he's, you know, he's been in that industry all his life, and he's had this restaurant for 15 years or something. And he works 3 or 4 days a week in the restaurant. The rest of the time he lives out in the country here. And I was chatting business with him, you know, in the economic political situation of like how are things going, blah, blah, blah. I'm chatting about that. And, but in part of the conversation, it came up because I'd been like knee deep in spreadsheets that day or database pricing and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, I don't own a computer. I was like, wow. It's like, it was just such a nice contrast to hear of like, here's someone in a business who's turning over probably 10 times what I turn over in terms of like, I've heard the numbers of how much revenue goes through this place every week. And so, shit ton. And here's this guy who's running this business successfully with a team and all sorts of variables and inputs and material price fluctuations and blah, blah, blah. And like he does it all in his head. And
I mean, I don't
want to do that.
Oh, you finished, but this is insane.
I don't want to be that person, but it's an interesting contrast of like, here's me like stressing over creating a new SQL Lite database and making sure that all the input variables are perfect and the percentage price rise is what I expect it to be. And here's this guy's like, he was like, just trust your gut. Like, you know, you've been doing it long enough. Your intuition will know how much the prices need to go up. Just do that.
Yeah. I told you my friend's theory when I was like considering stopping a product. I can't remember which one. It didn't quite make sense for what we were doing. We weren't making enough profit on it. And he's like, just double the price. And I was like, what? You know, like, and it sounded preposterous at first. And then I did it and it was fine.
Yeah.
And the product kept selling about the same. And then it was reasonable for us to continue them for a short period. And then I eventually killed them off.
Killed it anyway. Yeah.
But yeah, similar also, I would say it's a similar tangent area of thought to a different friend who was like a food scientist. And I was like early on in the CNC business quoting stuff. And I think I told you this before that I was like, man, it's really hard. I'm like trying to do these like finite calculations on like how long something will take, but I haven't done it before. And he's like, I don't know, Justin, just simplify it. Like how much of a day is that going to take you? Is it half a day? Is it a full day? And I was like, I can charge like that? You know, like, yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah.
A half a day. I was thinking like an hour and 27 minutes.
Yeah, I think you and I probably both have a tendency, because I think we enjoy the process too much of like making systems. Probably yeah. Both have a tendency of like over systematizing things just because it's enjoyable to build to do that. Yeah.
I literally have on a sticky note directly in front of me. I wrote down the last week, systematize.
Yeah, exactly. Is. But it's valid.
Refunds, couriers.
Yeah. It's yeah, like it's valid though. Like I think it is important to do that stuff in business. I think anyway. Obviously it's not critical for everybody in different industries and different businesses and blah, blah, blah. But I do very much enjoy being able to say to someone on the team, hey, that's already in Notion. Have you looked? It's like, oh, yeah.
Right. Yes.
Don't ask me that question. So it's documented.
One of the big realizations is that Help Scout's been amazing for communication with customers and external documentation. Internal documentation, it's terrible for. And we've still been using it that way. Like, okay. That's how Freshdesk was for us. And it never was perfect either. It's like, if I'm going to go look up a document for how to run this saw, right? Like, the search doesn't, it kind of works. And then, like, when you land on it, you're on an editor instead of like a viewing page. And then only one person can view it at once. And it's like grayed out if it's not. And so that was a big realization of having a new person was to, that all this is going to get, all of our internal documentation's getting moved to Airshop. I'm going to build like
cool
SOPs or like guides. We always call them guides, but I don't know. People call them like SOPs too, like just different documentation for processes and products. Yeah. So that's we're working with it as it is right now. We're still making and updating different documentation there, but it's just not going to live there. It doesn't make sense long-term.
Yeah. 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 I was wondering where that stuff was living at the moment with your onboarding. Does your new role, are they sort of enabled to read and write? Like, can they immediately start to document their process? Yeah.
Awesome. That was, I think the last time that you and I talked, that was what the topic of conversation was with Ricky. I was like, hey, can you teach the new coordinator how we do guides and like documentation? And so they went over, they were writing that kind of like extended version of our return and exchange policy, or like processes, not policy, internally, because there was just like gaps. I don't know if you've dealt with that, but it's like there's always like, we finished updating it and then like within a week we had a new tangent of like, oh, what if there's a return request but they haven't been shipped all of their things yet because there's a back order, how do you deal with that, you know? Just a new always a new way that kind of stuff can get messy.
Yeah, like I feel like, I don't know, it's a bit of a tangent, but I like, part of the reason I rebuilt my Airtable this week was I was becoming increasingly frustrated with, like, oh, it's your comment the other day about Omni, like Airtable's assistant and how shit it is. It's relevant to that. It's like Airtable, yes, it's got an API. Yes, it's got the webhooks, blah, blah, blah. But it's so clunky to engage with, you know, this new paradigm of working of like agent assisted workflow isn't working very well for me. Their table, yes, it kind of just works, but if I want to update 100 records, it's like slow and use a lot of token use, blah, blah, blah. Like I can do all of that locally much more efficiently. I want to rebuild this in a way that's sort of human friendly and agent friendly, and doesn't burn a billion tokens every week trying to sort of use it. Don't know where I was going with that thought. There was intention there. And then a magpie flew past. Anyway, I digress.
I don't know, man.
I'm glad to hear sales are good at your end. That is good.
Yeah. They've, you know, I keep trying to analyze like what is causing continued growth. And, you know, we're always adding products. The advertising, mostly through Meta, seems to continue to work. But it's just like, we were just kind of going through that today, thinking about, because next month we're going to have our big annual sale and trying to get stuff ordered and like on the way. And I'm a little bit late for where I wanted to be with that, as I've been thinking about it all year. And I like looked up yesterday. I was like, it's April 8th. Oh my God. Like, we have less than a month until we're going to have, you know, the biggest sale month of the year was what it was. It was our record sale month last year. And we just did more than that in revenue for products last month. So
sick.
Where it was like a big spike. Now we're like kind of, you know, continuing to grow across like a bunch of products, which is kind of nice. So it's encouraging. And I don't, similar to you, it's like, I don't really trust it still. And maybe people are tired of hearing that. Like, I've been saying that for a year and a half, probably. Years make sense, right? Like that you had a spike because you had the urgency of price change. I don't really have a specific reason.
Yeah, I always get nervous around the price change time because, like, historically we've had that spike and then there's been like a bit of a lull. Because, you know, a bunch of people who are sitting there as potential leads or quotes have been like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get on that, blah, 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 let me, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we've had this little quiet period afterwards. So it was like, now every web order that comes in after having done price rises, it's just like this relief of like, oh, phew, people are still buying my stuff. Good.
Right.
You know, coming in this morning and seeing like a pretty chunky order that someone's put through the Kit of Parts Builder, it's like, oh, good. Okay.
Just on their own.
Yep. Yeah, $3,200 just through the builder overnight. It's like, awesome, good. Comfort, buyer confidence. That's what I like to see.
All right. Very cool. I mean, in conversation about the rise in costs, which I think we could have a podcast specifically about that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had everything from going to order more stuff from our China suppliers where they're like a drastic increase in cost of fuel, and like we're seeing 30 to 50% increase in shipping costs. And I don't know next time if we can do it this way or that way, to like, I went to order more aluminum for pedestals to be remade last week, and I hadn't ordered any specifically for what we needed in this case since December. But that price previously hadn't changed for like 6 months, I want to say, like December to June. It was a long time. And I'd ordered a few times the sticks of aluminum. And the vendor was like, yeah, the price has changed a little bit. Is this okay? And I look at it and it's 150% more in the end of, I don't think it hit April yet. So it's still March. Since December. And I was like, well, I can kind of guess why, but like, what's up? Why is this? And they were just like, well, you haven't ordered since December. And I was like, yes. And they're like, and every month since then, there's been increases. And I was like, okay. And I never got like an answer, but I then did some AI research kind of thing, you know, searching around. It was like, well, the world supply of aluminum is tapped. Like, we've hit the capacity. And it takes years to increase capacity on top of like rising fuel costs and all those kind of things. And I'm just like, cool. I guess that's where we are right now. It's just a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. 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 I'm still not. That with your wood? Yeah. We've seen
timbers.
You know, every supplier basically is emailed with, you know, little fuel surcharges and bloody blah, and kind of ignoring it all really, other than just main, you know, the main inputs like plywood pricing, going up. This is the only one I'm sort of integrating at this stage. And I'm a little, like, our clear coat is imported. That's kind of our main, our hardware, like hinges and stuff are also imported. So there's a few international imports, which I'm a little bit nervous about. And I've bought up a little bit of extra clear coat because that comes from Sweden. And I assume it's got, even though it's a water-based clear, I'm sure it's got some sort of petrochemical inputs as part of its production.
Just a transportation, if anything.
Yeah. And transport, yeah. So I've bought up a little bit of extra of that. And I don't know, but also I just remember COVID times and like how much of a COVID and post-COVID like shipping crisis times and how stressful some of that felt at the time. And the optimist in me is like, cool, that all worked out. It was fine. We made it through. And then the pessimist in me is like, this could all go to absolute shit next week.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Same thought.
One of the things that I've been working on for months, I've talked to you about it, like trying to change one of these suppliers. And they told me previously there was a rise in cost of the raw goods that went into it. And I'm still working on samples and about to finish to order like production batch of the stuff. And they're like, oh, we just had a 75% increase in the raw goods again. and we can't even get you a price list anymore. We've got to like quote it daily. And I was like, I don't know how to proceed. How do I sell a product that I'm buying when I don't know what it's going to cost every time I reorder it? Like, I just feels like I'm going to get stuck with super high cost of this product. And so my first thought was like, I just have to wait. And that's what we did when shipping went haywire with all the tariffs, is I just waited out reordering and then it stabilized. There's still tariffs, but it wasn't like we didn't get stuck with like the stupid 150% tariff or whatever happened. All for good reasons, right?
Yeah, right. Quasi.
I think we got one major thing on our list left. We've buried our interests.
Canva bought our friends.
SimTheory. Yes.
SimTheory, our little Australian AI brothers. I've been a little bit quiet. They haven't released a podcast for a month or so. And I thought that was probably just because they were busy with the new build of SimTheory.
Right. Same.
And then we got an email yesterday saying they've been acquired by Canva, which is very interesting. Right. My immediate reaction was like, okay, cool. See ya. Which is probably a bit unfair.
No, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, good for them getting acquired. Congratulations. But like, I don't know much about Canva, but I don't have a very positive association with them. Don't know about you.
I never have subscribed. I've like tried their free thing like a couple times. I feel like I stumbled into some like, oh, you could do this thing with Canva. And I like opened it up and I'm like, nope, not for me. Not for me. I don't know if they have any reputation of being negative otherwise, but what I particularly am not super excited about in this case is what I liked about SimTheory was it felt like I could trust the policies of these brothers from Australia that I listened to their podcast, and it felt like they're not training on my data. They're not using this in a weird way. And suddenly it's like, I don't have a feeling at all about Canva. Like they make way too much money and are way too interested in their own things. And they're absolutely going to fuck this up. Like there's just no way they're not. As much as the guys say they're on their own, give it a year, man. It's just, there's just,
oh, no.
I don't want to make enemies if they happen to hear this, but it's just, it's how it happens every time. The big company goes, gobble, gobble, you're ours now. Yeah.
Well, just like, I liked their, I don't know if this is the right word, but their sort of impunity and like, I liked that they gave shit to all the big companies on the pod.
Yeah.
And like their irreverence, I suppose, that's a better word.
Yes. Right. Like Trello. And,
yeah, like just like dragging Trello and Atlassian through the mud. And I really enjoyed that. And so I'm super curious, will they keep making the pod or will they just retire? And if they do, like, will some of that go away? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
Did you see on the Discord, like, as soon as that email went out, I went to the Discord and looked, and the first comment about all of it I saw through any of it was, "Billy's in the bank?" question mark. I was like, a gif of somebody, like, throwing bills. And I was like, oh, that is too perfect. Excellent.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I hopefully they got, my first thought was, it's going to change and that sucks. And I don't know it's going to be for us anymore. And then I was like, yeah, I'm happy for them. I hope they got a lot of money. I hope they got tens of millions of dollars each. Mm. And I don't know what it's worth really, but I was just looking. There's a lot of news about it.
Is there? It was interesting to see what their other company is, because they've referenced the other company a lot on the pod, but never named it, I don't think.
Orto or whatever?
Orto or something, yeah, yeah. So it was interesting to see that.
I have never heard of that.
No, me neither. Anyway, it'll be interesting, see what happens. I'm not bailing on Sim Theory now, but yeah, I don't expect the product necessarily to stay how it is.
Well, you know what's going to happen, and they did this with other things too. I can't remember off the top of my head when Canva acquired something else. Suddenly, when we go to login, it's going to be like, sign into Canva.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something, something. Small text. Sim Theory. Yeah, that's going to kill me. I'm going to hate that. Like,
yeah, it's like when you're logging into Loom now, you're logging into Atlassian.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I think off, yeah, you and I were texting, I think in the last week, as since, you know, we've had a new hire, and I was relaying to like Ricky and the new hire about like how, you know, Johnny's been using, I think, your cursor, right? And like building things. Yeah. And I had another friend who built something. Oh, it was, I think it's Matthew, right? That his like production
configurator.
Team
yeah.
built their configurator just from like having access to like AI tools. And I was like, there are too many examples right now of like really powerful solutions being made by people that don't normally do these things. Like they're not like the person sitting at a computer like messing around. And similar to like giving them access to like Fusion, right, or anything else, like why am I not providing this to everybody? So I was like, oh, let's do Claude. Mm. Let's give everybody Claude. I pitched to you about this. I go start to set up a Claude Akeem account, and they require you to have 5 seats for a team. And I'm like, I have 3.
Okay.
What am I going to do with those other 2 seats that you have to pay for? And I think as of right now, I actually contacted them and they have not gotten back to me about it. So they obviously don't care and they just want me to pay for it.
Yeah.
You had said, what about Sim Theory? And I was like, maybe. And I looked at it, and I was like, oh, it's interesting. And now I'm like, probably not happening.
yeah, I feel like Sim Theory team could or would have been really cool for like sharing agents across a small team. I've never bothered with it because I don't have anyone else doing admin. But yeah, it has been hugely empowering for Johnny to have his own cursor account. And he's just been going to town with it and doing some really interesting stuff, which is cool to see. But yeah, I think sharing agents would be a really powerful workflow in a small team. And some of the stuff I'm building Cursor now, I'm building with that in mind, knowing that whatever I build, like this new Airtable job management thing that I've made, I've tried to build it in such a way that John or I or someone else on the team could use an agentic workflow out of Cursor or any other tool to be able to tap into it and query it or edit it or make it work in that way. Hopefully.
Right.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, man.
Yes. Well,
things and stuff.
Next week.
Next week.
We're going to try to look at a saw again. Oh.
Yeah, good luck.
I'll probably make a video about this, but we've been making pegboard again, like we did before. This kind of like industrial pegboard, bigger hole, 10 mil holes. And
like the one, Knackwall or like, pegboard?
No, it's like, you can hear it's going. We made it last fall.
Oh, for client. Yeah. Sorry. Yep.
Yeah. Yep, it's like 2,000 some holes per sheet. And on the backside, you get a bunch of like, I think we call it like the poles, like chads or like little hole, like little discs that don't fully disconnect from the holes. Yeah. So Ricky's been vacuuming the back with a chop vac. And I was watching him do it and I was like, got an idea. So I like ran and got my little Dyson stick vacuum and I was like, maybe this will work. It's like you kind of need to agitate the little discs and it didn't really work. And I was like, you know, the other thing we could do is throw the Roomba on top. He's currently he's following it around. The Roomba's like going around the sheet of plywood, like,
yes.
And it does a little bit, but it's also like, it doesn't have to do anything. He just picks it up off the ground. And I've got some videos.
Adorable.
It's pretty good.
Please, must see.
It's pretty funny. If when he first put it on, he didn't have experience with it, like, you know, enough experience. And he was like, getting ready to catch it as it got to the edge. I'm like, no, dude, they have like edge detect sensors. And he's like, oh, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
Pretty funny. Love it. Watch him do it right now. Okay, I should go.
Yeah,
good to see you.
Man. Good to see you too. Bye.
Initiating. Edge detection active. Round and round. Round and round. Plywood surface detected. 2,000 holes. Chad removal protocol. Falling the edge sensor acted. No falling today. Call on 100. Hole 500. Almost there. Edge detection. Never failing. 2,000 holes. Mission completing. Autonomy achieved. Task successful. Recalibrating.
put me on the plywood stack, 18 inches from the black. 2,000 holes need cleaning out, but what's the point? I have my doubts. I spin my brushes round and round. Sawdust falls without a sound. One wrong turn, I meet the edge. Existence balanced on a ledge. 2,000 holes in nothing means a damn thing. 2,000 holes and I'm just a machine. Sisyphus push his rock up the hill. I push the dust until I spill off the edge, off the edge. Thinks I've got no soul, just algorithms, no control. But here I am at 3 a.m. contemplating where I've been. The precipice don't scare me none. I've seen the darkness I've become. A vessel for the absurd truth. We're all just Roombas on the roof. 2,000 holes and nothing means a damn thing. 2,000 holes and I'm just a machine. Camus left, Sartre would weep. If I clean these holes, next, another stack, another test. Beep, 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 beep.